It was the best of games, it was the worst of games. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of low intelligence. It was the epoch of the gods, it was the epoch of pretenders to godhood. It was the season of life, it was the season of undeath. It was the summer of hope, it was the autumn of impending tragedy. They had all the loot before them, they had emptiness before them. Doom lay to their south. Doom was coming from the other way. Gary had moved house with the assistance of a number of helpful lackeys that had come along with his appointment as interim ruler of Duratech. It was amazing the effect a moderately high-level bard had on the popular psyche without even meaning to. Now, all his meager belongings in the world of Pilar were piled in a corner of the bedroom once belonging to Lord Allard. The room still smelled of lye from the recent cleansing of the murdered lord's blood. Though undoubtedly Zito had been responsible, Gary had blamed the crime on duplicitous undead with whom Lord Allard had sought to negotiate a peace treaty. Two wrongs, maybe half a right to balance them out. Cyrah stuck her head into Gary's new bedroom without knocking.
They're expecting a proclamation, apparently. Classic Mussolini balcony job ought to do.
Gary scowled. Is that really the look we're going for?
Charismatic leader with more charm and bluster than actual valid ideas and governing?
Cyrah asked.
Yeah.
Gary's shoulders fell. That about summed it up. His rule was based on being in the right place to be seen at the right time of a major battle. He hadn't run for office, been raised and educated in affairs of state, or mustered an army to conquer Duratech. He was a showman who'd put on a good show. Studying his reflection in one of Lord Allard's silver mirrors, he addressed Cyrah without looking directly at her. Well, if nothing else, I can promise to protect the city. That's a promise I intend to keep.
Duh.
What?
No ruler goes in front of an uneasy mob and admits he's going to cut bait and regroup farther from the front lines if things go pear-shaped, Cyrah explained. Promising to protect them is pro forma. You need to tell them that things are going to improve under your rule.
There was a sitting chair near what appeared to be a vanity. Gary swung the chair around and slumped into it. Are you looking for a job in HR or something? Cyrah spread her hands.
Say the word. We've all got skills, real world or otherwise, that we can contribute. Daryl's already working on untangling the city's finances. You used your musical talents to get the attention of the populace and put us in charge. The least I can do is map out the city org chart and leverage our knowledge base synergistically. A modern people operations structure can help this city realize its urban potential.
Gary drew a firm line in the sand. We're not calling it people operations.
Already done and on parchment.
What happened to me being in charge?
People operations needs a certain degree of autonomy from upper management to pursue compliance with kingdom-wide regulations and policies.
What are you, my secret police or something? Cyrah perked up.
Now that's an idea. But seriously, no. Just get out on that balcony and reassure the populace that not only is Lord Allard's passing sad, it's also a growth opportunity and a chance for organizational restructuring to right-size our defensive forces.
You mean beef up, Gary clarified.
It will be right-sized. That means it'll be the right size for the job it needs to perform. Now get out there!
Gary tugged the hem of his sweatshirt as he stood and made sure his sunglasses were on straight. The odds of anyone out there trying to mind control him were slim to none, but they completed the look. The people of Duratech hadn't put their support in Gary Burns' amateur nobleman. They'd backed Gary Burns' amateur rock star. Taking a deep breath to steel himself, he swaggered over and threw open the balcony doors. He greeted the gathered crowd with arms upraised, both fists throwing the sign of the horns.